Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello, you are listening to the Dork Forest with Jackie Cation. I, coincidentally enough, am Jackie Cation. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, if you enjoy a determiner. The Dork Forest is a podcast that's on all the platforms, your iTunes, and then I populate it over to YouTube. It's on Stitcher and Pandora and Spotify, but wherever you listen to podcasts, hopefully it makes it available in 1,000 different ways. It is November, and I'll also use this for December. This month, I ask that you not donate to the Dork Forest. If you want to support the Dork Forest, you can. You can order from Amazon using the tiny link that just takes you to Amazon and you order like normal. You can buy merch on the store page on JackieCation.com. You can go to the Bandcamp DorkForest.com and buy extra episodes and stories and stuff if you like to do that. You can come and see me do stand-up comedy, at which my tour is all over JackieCation.com. And in November and December, I'm actually on the road quite a bit, including Minneapolis and Madison, Wisconsin. So those are my... But don't donate. Don't use the PayPal button to donate. And if you're doing it monthly, know that your donation will be going to the LA Food Bank. Because what I ask is that you don't donate to the Dork Forest in November and December, and instead donate to your local food bank. Go to feedingamerica.com if you are in the United States. Put in your zip code, and it'll tell you your local food bank. Or you can just Google the words food bank and the name of your town. That happens all over the world. You can do that anywhere in the world. But just for these 2 months, help people around you. That's all I'm saying. Other than that, we should do the credits. Yes, Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song with Sarah Cohen, his wife, and he will sing his version of the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Patrick Brady fixes this audio, and Vilmos, still fixing JackieCation.com, bless his heart. Anyway, let's get into the show. Hey, it's Jackie Cation, and I'm not in my living room because I need to learn some shit. How's it going, Danielle Perez?
You know, it's going. It's the holiday season. It's Los Angeles. It's beautiful.
It sure is. It cleaned up because we were raining. We were raining, which is good. And
I don't love the rain. I feel like I'm the Wicked Witch.
Because you don't love the rain?
East. Yeah, because I feel like if the rain touches me, I'm like, ah, I start to disintegrate when it hits my hair.
You thought about getting a Blade Runner umbrella? That's what I have. It makes the rain even more exciting.
What's a Blade Runner umbrella?
It's an umbrella that has a light in it, and it kind of looks all noir-y and cool in the rain.
That is kind of cool. The only thing is, I have yet to figure out how to use an umbrella and push my wheelchair by myself.
It's true. You would have to somehow attach it, or it would be...
Does Andy want to figure out how to do that?
Maybe he might, because...
I would love that.
We are in your home.
Yes.
We are in your home, because my home is not accessible.
Okay.
Right, but...
my home is.
Your home is, exactly. And you're like, I will sit here. You could come to me like the Pharaoh, like people came to the Pharaoh. And that's what I said to Andy this morning. I said, I don't want to go. But I feel like an asshole.
No.
Well, no, because I don't want to go anywhere.
I mean, who wants to go? Yeah,
nobody wants to go, right? And he goes, and I said, I feel like this is my fault. And he said, everything isn't your fault, but it is your responsibility not to make it worse. So why don't you go? Aww. And I was like, and he didn't say it in this sort of clipped tone that I just repeated it in. He said it in a much nicer tone where I was allowed to learn something.
Isn't that so nice when people are just like more patient and kind than you?
Yeah, it
it's
is.
It's like, oh,
it's one of the things I love about him. And let me say, live and learn. Okay, so your dorkdom. Wait, first of all, let's just do it. At Diva Deluxe, DivaDeLux. It's in the notes. Mm-hmm. Deluxe doesn't have an E, but it's at Diva Deluxe on Twitter and Instagram. And it's thedanielleperez.com. And this will go up end of December. And in January, you're doing the CBS LA thing, the 14th through the 17th.
Yeah,
January.
The Diversity Showcase. Yeah.
Diversity Showcase at the El Portal
Theater in glamorous North Hollywood.
North Hollywood. Okay, well, slow
glamorous.
Down.
Glamorous.
Okay, so I almost said slow your roll, which would be a rolling joke. Somebody,
we love it.
Yeah, do you?
Someone that's already...
Somebody... I'm like, you woke up dead, Jackie. Anyway, so, but here's the thing. Your dorkdom is Mariah Carey.
We love it. We love Mariah.
I don't know anything about Mariah Carey. I didn't even know there was an H. I was like, is it spelled like Maria? And you said, as a matter of fact, it is not.
It is not. M-A-R-I-A-H.
Now, I have been to grocery stores and gas stations, mm-hmm. so I've heard Mariah Carey.
You have.
Because she is everywhere. She is ubiquitous to some extent. She is around. Who is she besides a musician who is very popular?
I mean,
when did she start? What is her jam?
Her jam. So she started in the, well, she started when she was very young because her mom was an opera singer.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her is mom, she from here? Where is she from?
Her mom
where
is.
Where does your mom get to be an opera singer? Italy?
Truly. Right. Well, yeah. Her mom is like of mixed like Venezuelan background and also European.
Okay.
And then I believe her dad is like mixed, like black. There's like black in there.
Okay.
So she's a little mix of everything, but
she is all the humans.
She's all the things.
All the things.
That's
good for her.
Yeah. No, but she, you know, was trying to do music in New York City, like in the 80s.
Okay.
And she sang backup for this one woman, Brenda Starr.
Really?
Yeah. And then she, you know, Tony Mottola saw Mariah and was like, I'm going to make you a star.
Not Tony Mottola. Who's Tony Mottola?
Of Sony Records.
Okay.
Mogul, businessman, and record producer.
Okay.
And manager.
Hopefully not as big of a weasel.
Oh, he's 100% a weasel.
100% weasel?
Weasel. Biggest weasel in the game.
All right. Well, crouching next to his picture is the word weasel. Yeah. Sony, though.
Sony. So big deal. I mean, she released her first album very quickly. She released her first two albums pretty much back to back, and people did not believe that she was like actually singing.
Oh, wow.
Because, I mean, she was hitting, like, crazy high notes.
What was her first album, one of her first two albums? Any idea?
Her first album was, like, it was either, like, Mariah Carey or it was, like, Emotions.
Self-titled or
self-titled,
Emotions?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. I'm like, wow, Danielle, you're going to be here talking about Mariah Carey and you're not even going to give us a full, like, complete discography. Complete with that, years.
You know what? It's almost wasted on me. And but other people will enjoy it if you want to pull up a discography and we can get into it.
We're going to get into it. Because, she, like, out the gate, she was just number one singles. She has a number one single for each year of the 90s.
Really?
Yeah. Like that's, I mean, you talk about Mariah Carey being ubiquitous and it's like, and she wrote all those songs.
Wait, she writes them as
she
well?
She writes. That's why she has so much fucking money. That's why Mariah Carey Christmas is the thing that it is. Because she wrote all
what
I
is
want
Mariah
for Christmas
Carey Christmas?
Is you. All I want for Christmas is you is Mariah Carey.
Oh, I've heard that song.
Consumer in America, I bet you have.
I bet I have. All I want for Christmas is you. So here's the thing about that song, is that that song sounds like it was written in the 12th century. Like that song sounds like the beginning of rock and roll. It is so, part of the zeitgeist.
It's one of the perfect, it's like, I don't know, it's something like, they say that like the perfect pop song is like 4 minutes or something like that, and like most of her songs hit that 4 minute mark.
Okay. And she's writing these songs and then mm-hmm. she's singing these songs and then she's cashing some checks.
Cashing those checks.
All I Want for Christmas is You is Mariah Carey.
It is Mariah Carey. And oh there have God. Been estimates that she makes something like 50 million every Christmas, but I haven't been able to find like an actual,
like an
actual
number. Is she a billionaire?
I bet she is.
I bet she is. Right.
Well, you know what? I don't know. That Tommy Mottola thing kind of fucked her up because it's the thing about owning your masters.
Yeah.
That like Taylor Swift is like involved in right now.
I don't. I've seen just on the thread, just on the text thread.
But I mean, like Taylor Swift is probably one of like, you know, a modern day pop star that is like close to probably being a billionaire because she wrote her own music.
Okay.
She doesn't own her masters.
But Taylor Swift doesn't own her masters.
No, that's what I'm talking about, Taylor Swift.
Right. And
but Mariah, I don't know if she owns her masters or not.
Oh, wow.
But she gets all the writing royalties.
Right. The split on the sound exchange or whatever.
You know.
It would be, yeah, it would be, she would get the artist money mm-hmm. instead of the publisher money.
Yeah.
So if she owns the master, she gets the publisher's
money. But I bet Mariah's probably close to being a billionaire because on her episode of like MTV Cribs,
yeah.
it was like, I mean, palatial, this like New York penthouse, just room after room after room.
Wow.
She's like, I own Marilyn Monroe's white piano, but I don't want to show you that because I have to keep some things for myself.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine having a camera crew in your house for the express purpose of seeing
your shit
and describing it and then being like, not for you.
Oh my God, that is so weird.
Mariah's just amazing. I love her. Her MTV Cribs episode.
Yeah.
What? I mean, just she has like rooms dedicated to like all the stuff that her fans send her.
Oh, okay.
Her fans are called Lammies.
Lammies. Mariah mm-hmm. Carey. Lammies. How did mm-hmm. that happen?
Her lambs.
Oh, as in like she's a shepherd?
Mm-hmm.
And they are her little lambs.
They're her little lambs and they'll follow her wherever she goes.
Oh, wow.
Mariah can't do any wrong.
I sense that you might be possibly a lamb.
I don't know if I'm a lamb. I do love that.
It's hard for you to be a joiner, I sense. You're just like, oh, I love Mariah Carey, but I'm no lamb.
We love from a distance.
Sure.
No, but she... it's just like
so. In the 80s, the first albums came out.
Well, yeah, the 90s. So, she was doing music in the 80s, and with Brenda Starr, and then so her first album was Mariah Carey, and then right after it, she released Emotions,
and then those two were back to back.
So people were kind of like, because Emotions is when they have the song Emotions, which goes so high.
Okay,
it hits that like crazy high note.
And that's the song, Emotions.
And that's the song.
I'm making a playlist for myself.
Oh my gosh. I can make you Mariah. Well, honestly, you can just listen to her number one. She released a number one album like in the 2000s.
Oh, okay, like that Beatles number one business? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I like...
And it's perfect, yeah.
Okay, so the number one. Because I like... When I learn a new musician, and that's what Mariah Carey is for me, which is, of course, weird. But... I like a tape of I like a mix of 8 songs, The number ones will have at least 10, right?
Yeah,
because she had one for every year.
Yeah.
Okay, so Emotions comes out and she's hitting these crazy notes, and they don't believe that she wrote it,
or that she's
actually singing without the help of some sort of.
Auto-tune.
I don't know, castrated tiny child.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they had really. I mean, auto-tune in the way we have auto-tune now, but it was just kind of the thing of like. Is she for real, you know? Because no one really knew. She kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Tommy Mottola, he's a kingmaker.
He is, I guess, a kingmaker, Tommy Mottola. What other kings is... Where's the dorkdom that is Tommy Mottola? Mm. what is his...
He's the villain in this story.
In this story. Okay, so he discovers her, essentially, or co-ops her career.
Yeah.
And says, I'm going to make you a star.
Yeah. And so after that, then they made her do like a VH1 live session that people could see she was the real deal.
Oh, okay.
Because those VH1 live sessions back, like it was just like a very stripped down. It was very like very limited background musicians.
Okay.
Not a cappella, but like. Pretty close to...
Oh, pretty much unplugged. Wait, wasn't there something called unplugged?
MTV Unplugged. I know.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So there was...
Jackie, look at you knowing!
MTV Cribs. MTV Unplugged. I'm sure she's done all of them, right?
She's done all of them.
And then VH1... What was that one called? VH1, the voice? No, the mix?
The voice. Wait, MTV Unplugged. Oh, it's like
It was like Unplugged.
I know.
But whatever, unstripped down.
Oh, MTV.
You just said it.
I just said it.
Everyone who's listening to the show is like, no, we heard her. So it's good. Don't worry about it. This is all in the 90s too, right?
Yeah, this
MTV
is all in the
90s. VH1 business.
Yeah. So she does her Unplugged sessions and her VH1 live.
Yeah.
And her career just takes off from there. She releases Music Box. And then in 1994, she releases the Merry Christmas album.
Oh,
and that's
wow.
where you get All I Want for Christmas Is You.
And so she
is celebrating its, what, like
25th
anniversary this year?
Were there any other good songs on that or just that one?
I mean, all you need is that one.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need more than that one. That one's going to pay the rent.
That one, yeah.
That's amazing.
It's like, it's just a cultural touchdown. That
song. It really is. I mean, that's what I mean, is that it doesn't feel like it was written in the 90s. Mm-hmm. It feels like it was written
in an older time.
Right, like Bing Crosby sang it. Like, it feels like canon. Yeah. Yeah. Like this has been around forever. Mm-hmm. So, wow. I want, does she stay with Tony?
Tony Mottola? She stays with Tony up until Butterfly, and then she divorces him.
Oh, because they were not an actual married couple, were they?
They were. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. That's why he's bad. He's like,
oh, wait a minute. He didn't just say, I'm going to make you a star and take all of her money.
Be my wife. Yep. And I'm going to control everything about you.
Oh, dude.
I'm just going to be a complete psychopath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Manipulative, just terrible. Like, it's bad news.
That is bad news, because if he was a big deal in 1990, mm-hmm. it means, and she was what, 25?
Yeah. She was real young. So, and I mean, like, he had her working with amazing producers like Babyface, like all of the big 90s hit makers.
But she had to pay for it hanging out with Tony Mottola.
Tony Mottola.
Here's the thing about Tony Mottola. That name is amazing. That guy sounds like when you hear the name Tony Mottola.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, I bet you that guy's a skidball, man. And is he still around? What's he doing?
He is still around. He's still around. Still a music producer. He's married to Talia now.
And she's 25.
Well, not anymore, but... What,
did he marry her when she was 20? Well,
yeah.
Okay, so he's got to be 100 years old.
Yeah, he's
and
creepy. He's
Talia
gross.
Is who? Who is
she's
Talia?
She's like a Latin American like pop star.
And she's a big deal.
I think in Latin America, I know that sounds dismissive and I don't mean it to, but...
But since I don't know the incredibly famous U.S.-born Mariah Carey, that's not dismissive. I don't know who told you.
Yeah, no. She, like, I think she had, like, maybe a few crossover hits, but
okay.
she's not big, like, to American
right.
audiences. But I think
well,
in Latin
I hope
America,
he isn't
yeah.
saying shit to her, like, well, you're no Mariah Carey. Oof, well, but I bet you he is, because probably. He sounds like a piece of work. So when did they get married? Divorced?
Butterfly? They got divorced. So Butterfly came out in 97. So, like... Before that was Daydream, so that was 95, but like, okay, so the Daydream Butterfly era of Mariah Carey was kind of like when I started getting into Mariah, because like I was like, that's middle school,
perfect.
I'm like 11, 12, 13, and like Mariah Carey was one of the first like mainstream pop stars to really use and sample like hip hop in it.
Oh, okay.
Because this was also around, like, for Daydream, it's like she had a track with, like, Old Dirty Bastard from, like, the Wu-Tang Clan.
Okay.
And so we have, like, right, The Wave, you know?
Yeah.
Listening, like, playing Mariah Carey, and then we got, like, Old Dirty Bastard in it.
Right.
It's like, what's going on there? But
wow.
On Butterfly, like, she did a song with Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Okay.
Puff Daddy. That was, like, when Puff Daddy and Mace and all of that. Bad Boy Records was happening.
Okay.
Kind of like that new like era of hip hop. So that was pretty, like in terms of like pop music, that
yeah.
really had not been done before, because rap was also such a new music art form.
Yeah, and it was
and
real
it wasn't
separate.
Really taken seriously like in terms of the mainstream, right?
Right. It was the other way. The hip hop would take pop tunes and those beats and then rap over that. It wasn't taken the rap wasn't taken into pop.
Yeah.
And then sang over.
Yeah.
Which I think that's awesome. So she was one of the first people doing that.
Yeah. So she very much she did that, and she also she would like redo her vocals for remixes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like she'd always release remixes for her songs. So like when you sing a song, obviously you go into the studio, you do all of that
yeah.
voice work. But for every remix, she would go in and redo the vocals.
Oh, wow.
I mean, her work ethic is...
It's, outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. It turns out she's earning $50 million
yeah.
every Christmas.
Yeah, she is earning
and,
it.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, I've done a couple episodes about Dolly Parton, mm-hmm. but you hear about these... Like, I didn't know anything about Dolly Parton. And now Mariah Carey, These are incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible women.
No, this is like, it's like when just obscene talent and, you know, just obsessive work ethic combined.
Right. And has to be like the most, like, mm-hmm. it's sort of, it's so weird. Because you're like, I don't know, there's mediocre singers who mm-hmm. became a big deal.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
You don't get to last this long on mediocre. Absolutely not.
Yeah. 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 25 years later, nobody knows who you are. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of want a book of just, hey, these are the women who sort of rose above it all mm-hmm. by working their asses off and not believing that they couldn't do it mm-hmm. And sort of forcing themselves on the industry. Because that feels like Dolly Parton, too, but she also did it in sort of this sort of backhanded sort of, but I'm pretty. Oh, yeah. By the way. Fuck you. And mm-hmm. Is that Mariah Carey too?
Or? Well, Mariah Carey's like, and that's like the thing with Tommy Mottola is that like he had such control over her image that if you look at the like pre-Butterfly, it was like a lot more wholesome, like never a lot of, like she's always like been, like she was very young and sexy and like had a
yeah.
nice body, Avi, but it was a little bit more like a mature look.
Okay.
And then once she like got divorced, it was like, I'm sexy and I want to be sexy and like look right. at my body.
Yeah.
Like, she loves her body. She has a song called Touch My Body.
Oh, does she?
She does.
What album is that on?
That is on, I think that's on The Emancipation of Mimi.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and is that the one after 97? Kind of, is that sort of the next album?
2005. So she had to, she took a little bit, well, she didn't, I mean, not too much of a timeout, but after Butterfly, she released Rainbow. Rainbow wasn't so great, but.
Okay.
But the thing is, here's why Rainbow wasn't so great. And this yeah. is what happened with like Tommy Mottola. So Tommy Mottola and her are married. He runs Sony. J-Lo is coming out at this time. J-Lo is also signed to Sony. Mariah Carey requests certain samples.
Mm-hmm.
J-Lo is given those samples. J-Lo was given everything before Mariah.
Uh-oh.
Anytime Mariah expressed interest in wanting something.
They were like, I bet you this would be great for J-Lo.
Yep. So he fucked her over, and that's how you get the infamous, I don't know her.
Oh, I don't know what that is. What is that? Is it infamous?
It's infamous. It is infamous. So, you know.
What year are we talking about?
We're talking probably.
Early 2000s?
Like late 90s. Like around the time when J-Lo was coming up with
okay.
like I'm Real and like her whole like Jenny from the Block thing.
Okay.
When J-Lo was like transitioning from being a dancer to a singer.
Okay.
So, you know, obviously a big part of being
J-Lo
women
stands for
in
Jennifer
comedy.
Lopez.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Jennifer Lopez, yes.
Thank you.
But a big part of being women in entertainment is like being asked about other women in entertainment.
Right, right. What do you think of this?
What do you think of her?
What's Amy Schumer mean to you? What does she mean to me? Well, I wish her the best. Anyway, so.
So Mariah is asked, you know, about certain other singers and she's like, you know, pretty complimentary.
Oh, good.
And then they ask about J-Lo. And just a terse smile. Just, I don't know her.
Oh my gosh.
And to say I don't know who J-Lo is.
Oh my, that is
at
a
that
burn.
Time.
Bit of a burn?
Oh, it is. It's such a drag. It's very shady.
Shady, shady moment.
So it is an iconic moment.
And where was this, just in an interview or was it actually on like a TV thing?
It was like on TV.
Right. So it is on tape.
It's on tape. Oh, no. It's a GIF. It's a meme. It's everything.
I don't know her. Mm-hmm. Okay. All the things. And so did
they. On an episode of Sunnyside, mm-hmm. Joel Kim Booster did a report. They were supposed to do a report on American, like, important moment in America.
Okay.
And him and his, like, sister on the show do a report on I don't know her. They do a presentation.
A presentation. An act out?
Yes. They set the scene. There are note cards. They're like, we rest our case.
Here's what I want to know. So this is in late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Does J-Lo know that that Mariah Carey's having all of her good ideas stolen this and is, thrown?
And I don't know. I don't know J-Lo, but J-Lo, you know, also...
Do you know her?
I don't know her. Okay. I don't know her personally. But I mean, also, you know, J-Lo has persevered. She's lasted.
Yeah, she's lasted too, right?
She has lasted. I don't know. Who's to say? I can't imagine J-Lo had that much power being such a new artist.
Right.
To demand samples that she knew another artist wanted. So I think that was probably, those are probably.
That sounds like things, studio drama.
It's studio drama that affected the artist that she didn't really have control over. And now J-Lo's just like, oh, Mariah hates me. Well, yeah. I guess Mariah's a bitch. I don't, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I guess that's just kind of stayed, but.
Which is, we can blame that on Tony Mottola as well.
Yeah, that's 100% Tony Mottola. But
making two very talented, very strong women hate each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the patriarchy.
Right at work, you guys. We saw it. We saw it happen here. Right here. By the way, I'm talking to Danielle Perez. It's the Danielle Perez. .com at Diva Deluxe on Twitter and Instagram. And in January at the El Portel in NoHo, North Hollywood, the 14th through the 17th. And yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
That is a thing. We're doing it.
We're doing it. We're doing great. But what, so Mariah Carey then, so she's like, I don't know her. I'm just trying to do my thing.
Yeah.
And she just continues, she reinvents herself.
Well, she has a breakdown before that happens.
Oh, no.
On TRL, Total Request Live with Carson Daly.
Ow. Carson Daly.
Carson Daly.
he's a different Carson. Because
oh my God, Jackie.
I know. Well, I was born 107.
Oh my God.
And my brother, all he does is watch old Merv Griffins and tell me about them. So this is the Dork Forest, Danielle. Safe space. So Carson Daly. Total Request Live.
It was a live countdown show for music videos. Remember those things?
Yeah, yeah.
And people would call in and vote. It, you know,
it was a big deal.
I don't even know if like you were allowed to vote on the internet. Maybe you were, but yeah, it was. Oof, Total Request Live back in the day. So online,
it was huge.
It was huge. Yeah, it was,
yeah.
I mean, we have Carson Daly is a thing now because of that.
Yeah,
but Mariah Carey shows up unexpectedly in a t-shirt, a long t-shirt, but not long enough.
Oh.
And high heels. And she has like an ice cream cart and she's just like handing out ice cream popsicles to people. And like Carson Daly's face is just like, I don't know what's happening, but it's Mariah Carey. And we let Mariah Carey do what Mariah Carey wants.
Right.
And she's talking about butterflies and being free. And it's not.
Oh, so she is either tripping or she has gone to the other side.
Well, she has since come out as being like bipolar disorder two.
Okay.
Right.
No, I don't know what the difference between one and two is.
I think two is the one that Catherine Zeta-Jones has. I think you're like, oh, that clears it up, Danielle. Yeah.
Is it is it like diabetes, one you're born with and one you get late onset? What's happening?
I think the difference is like the way the like you spiral in and out is somehow maybe more delayed, like there are longer periods of time between the episodes.
Fair enough. And we should probably not speculate in
sure,
it as we,
no, I mean,
but
she I can,
she's
you
out,
can look it up.
Like, yeah, people can look it up.
Common knowledge.
Yeah, yeah, people can look it up. And then, so she's come out as bipolar and she was... And probably the
stress
of... Yeah,
bipolar 2 disorder. Yeah, no, so she... But that's, like, that... Like, her coming out with that, like, wasn't until, like, 2018. That's, like, a very new thing.
Okay.
But, like, in hindsight... But that's the thing. It's, like, we think these women are crazy. Like,
yeah.
Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, now with kind of the wokeness, right, of 2019 and the empathy that we have for mental disorders or, you know... An understanding what the patriarchy
Understanding of what is
those
actually
dynamics.
Being done to these famous people.
Instead of, they're just crazy.
Right. Michael Jackson's just crazy. Well, you're like, well, he was broken as a child and then grew up and then remained broken. Very sad.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but...
So she for sure has like an episode on TRL Live. Takes a little T.O.
Okay. Little time out.
But... she releases Glitter in conjunction with the movie Glitter because Mariah wants to be a movie star.
Okay.
Like how Madonna does, you know?
Oh, right.
And so, you know, she...
Yeah, sometimes.
It's the movie about her basically becoming Mariah Carey. It's like this girl who was like working in nightclubs and singing and gets like discovered by this record producer and all of a sudden her life changes. You know what I mean? And like in the movie, I think like Babyface or D'Angelo, like there's like legitimate people in the movie that are like, of course it'll be in your movie, Mariah. And if you can, you should listen to the director's commentary of Glitter.
Wow. Because that would have to, I would have to watch Glitter.
Oh, no, just watch the director's commentary.
Oh, okay. Oh, there you go.
You can, I mean, it was a bomb. It was a bomb for a reason.
Okay. Because
Mariah blames 9/11, but it's.
Oh, my God. She blames 9/11?
It was released the weekend of 9/11. And she really has said in interviews, like, if it wasn't for that darn 9/11.
How Scooby-Doo of her. Holy hell. Yeah. Yeah, that's what did it. Because a movie like Glitter was going to be some sort of tour de force.
I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. It was never going to be a tour de force.
It was never.
But the
director is so in love with Mariah Carey and like the concept of the movie. So it is really sweet to watch like or to listen while you're watching this like pretty mediocre movie. This man just like gush about what a joy she is. Look at the light she brings to the scene. He talks about, he's like, I love that moment of magical realism in Glitter.
You have watched this movie many times and the director's commentary.
I sure have.
You sure have. All right. I love that. Because I have watched some director's commentary. There's a very mediocre movie that I love with the power of the sun called 2 Weeks Notice.
Oh, and my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you ever get a chance, it is the director, writer-director, Hugh Grant and Sandra Bullock. Doing the director's, doing the commentary.
Oh, that sounds actually very funny.
It's almost better than the movie. But not, because I love 2 Weeks Notice. It's almost, here's the thing about 2 Weeks Notice, is that it's almost a great movie. But it's not a great film. It is a great movie where you're like, oh, because, you know, with all those romantic comedies, there's the B plot and there's the message and, you know, there's these nice little moments. The same guy wrote, because Hugh Grant must be his best friend because the same guy who wrote 2 Weeks Notice also wrote music and lyrics.
Oh.
With Drew Barrymore and
that
Hugh Grant.
Good.
Oh, no, it's great. It is also, it's terribly great. It is not anything... No,
I'm not that familiar with like who Hugh Grant's like whole
his catalog.
Yeah,
yeah, me neither. But the thing is this guy made. He also made a third one. It was like not Meet the Fockers, but it was like something about the Hendersons, whatever the Hendersons, or and it was also Hugh Grant, but it was set in Montana and it was with Sex and the City, Three Names, Lady.
Sarah Jessica Parker?
Sarah Jessica Parker and Hugh Grant, and it's a romantic comedy, and it was the trifecta of Hugh Grant movies that this guy did.
What years were these? Were these in the 2000s or in the 90s?
Yeah, I think it was
early
2000s. Early 2000s.
You know, it could have been when people were still in like that studio system where you had multi-picture deals.
Maybe, and it was...
Because that's like a weird thing that like, that's what killed Alicia Silverstone's career.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Because she was, like, tied to, like, some Paramount stuff. That's why she was in, like, Excess Baggage. Like, that movie sucked. That's why she was in the Batman movie. The bad one.
The bad one. The really bad one. There hasn't been a good Batman movie. There's been one good Batman movie.
Do you consider Joker the Batman movie?
I don't. I consider the Joker a Joker movie.
That's my favorite review.
That's my review. Here's my other review of Joker. If you liked it, good for you.
Right?
I didn't need to see it. It sounded like a celebration of the bad guy. And that's a movie that I couldn't even see The Godfather 2, so I'm fine. Yeah. I was like, oh, these aren't nice people. I don't want to watch this movie
anymore.
Did
you watch Sopranos?
No. No.
Or Breaking Bad.
I saw the first season. I actually maybe saw the first two seasons. And then when his girlfriend died, spoiler alert.
Like, I can't. You're
I was
out.
Like, oh, it's never going to get better. No. That's when I knew. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, he's getting his shit together. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, no. Why would that show allow this? And so then I let that go. Mad Men, I only watched for the ads. And then the...
Jackie.
Right, I love the advertising plot.
You're like, is she going to be a Jackie or a Marilyn? Which one are we going to put her in for the maiden for?
Sex and the City movie. I accidentally saw both of those, and
don't say accidentally. You wanted to. Yeah, it was. You were ready and willing.
I think of off and on of that show, but the Sex and the City. You know how they always, because you said, which one are you?
Yeah.
The Sex and the City. It's always like, which one are you in Sex and the City?
Which one are you, Jackie?
In Sex and the City 2. The movie, I'm actually the Arab guy that calls the police on them. That's who I am.
I love it.
That's who I am. And what do you think you are?
Okay, I'm a Carrie. I want to be a Carrie. But to be a Carrie actually in your 30s as an adult woman is psychotic. You want to be a Miranda. You don't.
Yeah.
In your 20s, you watch Sex and the City and you think, I'm a Carrie. I'm mm-hmm. a Carrie. Carrie's the best. And then you get in your 30s and you're like, Carrie's the worst.
Carrie's bananas.
And Miranda is the only one with her
is
shit
Is Miranda
together.
The redhead lawyer mm-hmm. lady?
Yes.
Okay. So
she's
who's the
only healthy one.
Right. The doc, the crazy, I want to get married and have babies.
Oh, that's Charlotte. Ugh. Well, no, I don't understand how they were friends with Charlotte.
Yeah,
Charlotte's the only one in that friend group that truly does not make sense.
It's interesting. It's sort of like one of those situations where you're like, well, I know people that I don't particularly like, but I've known them too long.
But it's in your 30s, you can let those people go. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's so much now in hindsight. It's like, it takes so much time and energy to get people together for brunch. You can let one of them go.
Right. If they can't make it, it's kind of a relief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It is that. I agree entirely. So, would you be friends with Mariah Carey, do you think?
Oh, my. I mean, I don't know if she'd let me in her inner circle. I would love to be friends with
Does
Mariah.
Does she have an inner circle? What do you know? What do you know about Mariah Carey today?
What I know about Mariah Carey today is she doesn't celebrate her birthday. She celebrates anniversaries.
Oh, a birth anniversary? She calls them anniversaries?
She calls them anniversaries. She doesn't call them her birthday. So when
okay.
she has a birthday, it's an anniversary. You're celebrating an anniversary. It's never another year older. It's we're having an anniversary.
Oh, weird.
I mean, there is like an interesting thing where like, and I don't know what happened in her childhood.
Exactly.
But there is kind of like an obsession with like kind of childlike things like Christmas, like loving Christmas that much.
Yeah.
Like she truly does love Christmas.
I love Christmas.
Do you?
I do.
But we know what happened in your childhood.
Oh my God. It's hard not to know what happened in my childhood. I will tell you. And the weird thing is Christmas was always pretty lame. Mm. People tried.
Pretty poor.
Right.
Yeah.
But I did love the sparkles and the snow and the things. What her mom was a let me
yeah,
back
they were
up.
Struggling. They weren't doing well financially.
And her mom was an opera singer.
Yeah, but it's like I guess it's,
maybe not a huge star, obviously.
Yeah.
But she comes from a musical family.
Yeah.
It's one of those situations.
She's like not technically like classically trained, but it's like she writes her own, you know what I mean? She can write it on the piano. Like she can.
Oh, do you know if she reads music?
I don't know if she probably reads music now. I can't imagine she doesn't read music.
Right.
But there's like she.
But growing up,
she's the kind of person I think that can like kind of pick up an instrument. You know what I mean? And she can hear it and then like hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Right. I mean, I think it's been established that she's kind of a genius.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a big part of like her writing all of her songs, her lyrics, very intricate lyrics.
Oh.
We're talking about 10-cent words.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I used to have a... Wow, I'm an asshole now.
No, farm it in. We're on a podcast. Now's the time.
I used to have a joke about online dating and how like guys are so stupid on that they would talk to me and be like, oh, you're so smart. It's like, I'm not smart because I use the word incandescently.
Ah.
It just means I listen to a lot of Mariah Carey.
Because she likes the word incandescently.
She likes big words.
Right. So she adverbed up incandescent, or you did.
But she does use incandescently in like lyrics. She
oh, really?
Uses incandescently, feveridly.
She likes adverbs.
Yeah, no. Oh my God. There's like an article online of Mariah Carey's like big words.
Right, right. The big words of Mariah Carey. Yeah. Do you know who else is? I mean, the thing is because we
acquiescent nothingness incessantly.
Lyrics done by pop singers.
Alienation, ambiguous apprehension. Like she's using big words for pop songs.
Right. I take it that that's alphabetical. That yes. list that you're reading from. Because I was like, did she just make it through the A's? The dictionary. I will say this, Eminem.
Oh, the rapper?
The rapper, Slim Shady, okay. himself. I don't know, I think it's been established over the last 800 episodes of this show mm-hmm. that I don't know anything about music, but I have one album of everybody. I will go out and buy one album and I'll probably buy the best of.
Yeah.
Just because.
It's so good. And it has a song, it's a tribute to Brenda K. Starr because it's a song she used to sing backup for with Brenda.
So it's a cover? There's one cover yeah. and it's the Brenda K. Starr mm-hmm. one? And what song is that?
Oh my God. It's, no, now, oh. I'm forgetting what it is, but it's so good.
But so I have recently, you know, because of Spotify and because of Amazon Prime and because of Pandora and all these places where, by the way, you can hear my albums for free. But because of all of those things, I have been listening. They'll do compilations, like pop compilations. And I need pop compilations because I don't know what the hell's happening, right? I don't have a radio. And I do have a radio.
Shocking.
I'm shocking. Like- But some of the lyrics that these people are writing, these very, very people that they're pop stars, right? They've been mm-hmm. belittled.
Yeah.
They're called pop stars. So, oh, they're popular. They must be, you know, kind of shallow or kind of not, you know, this isn't classical or whatever. And you're like, but classical was popular when it was invented and they were probably belittled. But who knows? But the lyrics are amazing sometimes. Just, I mean, the shade that's being given, yeah. the slams and just sometimes the emotion that's coming from some of these lyrics. And she has that same thing, right?
It's popular music for a reason. People resonate with it. I mean, yeah, okay, melodies and harmonies and all of that, but it's like it's still messages that we want right. to hear. We're excited by. They pump us up. They right, like get us through heartbreak.
Are there great lyrics that you can remember offhand? I mean, it's a bit of a it's
I mean,
a bit
in
of
the
a
joke,
spotlight.
I say like you know, them chickens is ash and I'm lotion. Oh gosh. She has. Oh well. I'm trying to think in.
Like in emotions, she must be speaking to her actual emotions.
Well, okay, there's a big song, Hero, that's really popular at funerals and graduation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
It's like similar to Bette Midler's, like The Wind Beneath My Wings.
Yeah.
Kind of like that's the energy.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But like there's a hero if you like reach inside your soul.
Okay.
The sorrow yeah, yeah. that you know will melt away, oh, will disappear.
That's great.
There's yeah, yeah. an answer. Yeah. So I mean, it's just like. It's
you know the song. That's good. And well, the, yeah, because those. Things change our lives. I mean, that's why you people are belting out these songs, and it's why people, if the songs are mean or have, you know, there's that whole thing where, well, I could say the N-word when it's in a song, and you're like, don't even. Why don't you just mute it as you sing it? You're doing fine. You're
well, yeah. That's why, like, her album, like, The Emancipation of Mimi, is so great because it's like it's her really taking back the power. Because that before Emancipation of Mimi, it's like, oof, you had Rainbow, not so great, Glitter. Ooh, she was going through some stuff. That was a bomb released on 9/11. Not Mariah's fault.
Like, she is not a terrorist.
Then there was Charm Bracelet. Like, those albums, she still owed Sony albums.
Oh, okay.
So she just had to kind of get those done. And oh. she knew that she, you know what I mean? It was like her, they're
she's
not giving
cranking.
Her the samples that she wants.
Yep.
She has to sample, like, she has to crank out these albums. Like, they're getting money. Obviously, mm-hmm. you know, the whole, like, masters thing probably is, like, now that's probably, like, a sore spot now.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, writing all her own music.
If she had, like, another three albums that she, you know, she gets divorced from Mottola.
Mm-hmm.
And Sony's like, well, you owe us three more albums.
Yeah.
And I think I would be very immature. Like, if that were a comedy thing.
Oh, and just do shitty albums?
And just do shitty albums and then go, I feel like that's what Prince, like, Prince changed his name.
That?
Prince changed his name to that symbol.
Oh.
So that he could put out the good stuff under that symbol alone.
Well, I'm sure now, knowing what Prince did, I'm sure, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
These record labels and their attorneys have figured out. Because that was like the issue with Kesha, is that she wanted out of her contract because she didn't want to have to work with the producer who raped her.
Ah. Son of a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Dr. Luke. Yeah. And it's like, you know, like Kelly Clarkson also had like a terrible time working with Dr. Luke. She did not allege any assault, but
right,
she said it was just like one of like the most painful like experiences she's like ever had working with him.
Yeah.
And like he produced like one of her, I think like the song we most associate with her, which is like Since You've Been Gone.
Okay.
And it's like, that's a huge hit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to just be stuck in a record contract, like, I think it's because you're still getting studio notes, like to be told to go out and perform and do this thing and not have control over it.
Yeah.
It's one of the hardest things about doing comedy when other people have their opinions and input and notes. And it's like, you're not supposed to.
Right.
That's not what this is about.
That's not your job. Or is it your specifically your job? Because I didn't hire you.
And
that's why corporates are so hard, is because they have a
that's
list
why
of
colleges
things.
Are hard. Colleges? Showcasing for colleges are hard.
That's right. That whole
NACA is hard.
Did you do NACA this year?
I did NACA. I did some NACA showcases, and that was painful.
Right. I've only done one NACA and got no work from it.
It was, oh my God. I'm like, I don't.
And it cost you $2,000.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't love being told what to do.
What? Interesting, Danielle Perez.
And that's like a wild thing. That's like, how did it take me so long to figure that out?
That's so funny that you just figured that.
Like,
I met you, 10 years ago? Pretty much knew it. Pretty much. I was like, oh, I recognize that. That's that comic thing where you're like, no, screw you. I'm going to do whatever I want. And you know who has that? Everybody. And Maria Bamford, we walk into Erie, Pennsylvania, and the door guy says, did they tell you that there was no swearing at the show? And Maria stops and goes, what? And she doesn't swear that much.
No, but
she got on stage and she goes, fuck. Did you guys hear that we're not supposed to swear? I am overwhelmed by a desire to say fuck.
I have a story about someone's JFL audition before. They were like, no crowd work. They just let him know, like, you guys just got to do your jokes. No crowd work. Comic gets on stage immediately. So, hey, what's up? Where are you from? Just immediately launches into crowd work. I'm like, oh, I love them.
Yes, yes. Ken Bradley did a, what was the thing that Ed McMahon hosted back in the 90s? It was it was essentially America's Got Talent, but it was for
wrestling.
No, no. Ed McMahon was
a wrestler
person? No, no. The sidekick of Johnny Carson.
Oh,
and he had a stand-up show. Wendy Lehman was on it.
Oh, was it Star Search?
Star Search. Yeah, he hosted Star Search.
Oh,
and there was a Star Search audition, and that's where I got this. The scar.
No. Oh, Jackie, whose face did you beat in?
I punched a wall, always framed with glass, and I hit a framed poster, a John Wayne poster, and the glass fell down on my hands. And luckily, I could still bend it. It went in between two tendons, and I could see the bone.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, hey, and I wrapped a T-shirt, Comedy Gallery T-shirt, around my hand, and I said, can I just go up next before I go to the hospital? And they said, no. No, you can go home. It was a Star Search audition. That's what it was. And but Ken Bradley had gone up, and Ken Bradley no longer does stand-up comedy, but he spent the entire time making fun of Ed McMahon at his Star Search audition.
That.
He was a delight.
I love that.
And he was not ever picked to be on Star Search. But who cares?
Who cares?
Not Ken Bradley.
Yeah.
The rest of us, he was making the back of the room go, yes!
Yay! One of us!
Exactly. So... But I like so what is she doing now, though? I mean, is she still writing?
Well, Emancipation of Mimi was her big comeback album.
Okay, like, what year was that?
2005. So, okay. Like, the last, like, Sony album was 2002, so there was, like, that three-year gap.
Right, so she 15 got, years ago, though.
Yeah,
that 14. Was Emancipation. Well, for about to be, yeah, 14
Emancipation
years.
Emancipation of Mimi. But mm-hmm. then after that, she had, like, E equals MC Square, Memoirs of an Imperfect Angel.
Are they all pretty good?
I Am Me. Period. I Am Mariah. Ellipses. The Elusive Chanteuse.
The Elusive what?
Chanteuse.
Chanteuse. How do you spell chanteuse?
Chanteuse. Chanteuse. It's a French word.
It is a French word. What does it mean? I forget.
It's like, I think it just means like a singer.
I'm
like
a chanteuse.
Well, yeah, like you're a
she's
like
a fancy
herald.
French person.
A fancy herald that's singing.
Well, good for her.
The Elusive Chanteuse.
She's
yeah.
an elusive chanteuse.
But yeah, so Mariah just, she's doing
she's
it.
She's still cranking it
she's
up.
She's cranking it out. She has a residency in Vegas.
Oh, does she?
And the thing is about Vegas, I think that it was like, because Celine Dion did Vegas and everyone's like, ooh, but Celine Dion made so much fucking money that now everyone's like,
Britney Spears did Vegas.
Yes.
And that ended up being weird, right?
Got a little weird, but Vegas was good for Britney ultimately. Okay. Because she got to kind of perform in like a safe environment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, I think after like the Britney doing, like once people realized like Vegas wasn't being put out to pasture, like
yeah.
Vegas got rebranded as like a way to make easy money and not have to deal with the touring schedule, because being on tour, you know, is brutal.
It's exhausting. And so you could perform and how
in a
like
theater
Celine
that
Dion
knows
did it for
it's
years. Right?
Celine's done it for, yeah, I can't, I mean, I imagine she's done it for at least 15 years.
Like a decade easily,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, if you just, I saw.
And you can also just, you could do like 3 to 6 months of it and then take time off.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but like people will come to you. They'll come to Vegas. Like Vegas is a destination and,
already.
And she can still do like award shows and things like that, you know what I mean? But it allows you to kind of have like.
And a place to work out.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be a show where you could work out new stuff if you wanted to.
Mariah is very particular. That's one thing. I really want to go to the Vegas show.
Okay, I was going to ask. Have you been yet?
I have not been to see Mariah Carey live, and that is...
A bit of an injustice?
It is.
I feel that.
I feel bad about it, and if anyone wants to make that right for me...
Right?
You can Venmo me at Diva Deluxe. Also, my Instagram and Twitter
Deluxe.
Handle.
Diva Deluxe. Diva Deluxe. The Venmo. I would go see Mariah Carey in Vegas.
Yeah. Marcel Arguello and like Lydia Popovich, they've gone to see Mariah.
Okay.
Yeah, but like her in concert, I've only like seen, you know, videos of it on the internet, is truly an experience because she has no problem talking to the lighting, sound people.
Oh, during
and
the show?
Yeah, to be like, my ear. What's going on? I can't hear myself. Like, okay, we're going to, we need that down. You know, like, what's going on?
That's a live experience.
It's a live experience. She very much is controlling what's happening.
That's awesome.
It's a live experience. It's behind the curtain. I mean, she does it because, you know, Mariah had that disastrous 2016 New Year's Eve performance.
No, I don't know about the 2016 New Year's Eve performance.
Oh,
2016?
Yeah.
That was just 3 years ago.
Yeah.
What happened?
You know,
where was it?
Times Square, New York, Times Square.
Oh shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like live. New Year's Eve live. It's you can find
clips of all
you
this
can
stuff,
find
I'm
clips
sure.
of it. I mean, they're not the greatest clips, but they are clips and they are hilarious. But she's doing New Year's Eve live. It's the countdown, right before the countdown, but it's like this big performance. And Mariah Carey doesn't lip sync. She notoriously doesn't lip sync. She sings live. And she's very serious about that. And
so she's not doing the Macy's parade. Okay.
She sure isn't. No, she's not going to be the two last standing members of TLC on a weird jungle cat animatronic flow. That was just bleak. That really, I was like, this feels like Thanksgiving. Just bad.
Right. I was going to weed off into the Thanksgiving parade thing, but let's not. What happened on New Year's Eve?
So she sings like a medley of two songs, and I think that I don't know what's going on, but the backing track is going. And the thing about singing live is you have to make sure your inner ears are up really loud so that you can hear the music and you can hear yourself.
Okay.
Otherwise, you just, and especially in
just
a live
the roar of the
roar of the crowd.
Yeah.
And to be live outside, New Year's Eve, all of those elements, you have to be able to hear yourself. So I think something was happening where she couldn't hear herself.
Ah.
And they were playing like a song that she was like, wait, this isn't the order. What's going on? So she just is like, well, you know the lyrics. And like,
oh, really?
And she also doesn't really do choreography. Like, she is a she's like, I'm a singer.
Right.
Singer. That's what I do.
I am not Beyonce.
She will move to, like, to one side of the stage or the other. But like, it is truly amazing because you see these like male background dancers really just giving it their all because they are there and it's New Year's and they are professionals. And Mariah just truly giving up. Just like, I mean, I don't like, it's messed up. So I guess she's like, oh, are we still going to do the lift? Okay. Like, just haphazardly walking through the choreography. It is amazing.
That is, you know what? I love
it. It is such an energy and a mood. She's like, I didn't fuck up. Like, right, somebody's going to get fired. And so she comes back next year, right? The return of Mariah, like, no, someone fucked up. And then she sings and it's incredible, but you can, you know, it's, and then she finishes her song and she's like, I asked for tea and no one gave it to me. Can I get my tea? I think my throat still needs a little bit of it.
Yeah. Still on the mic.
Still on the mic. Oh. It's like, oh, someone's still fucked up.
Someone still is not nailing it. Oh my God. Because
like singing out there like that in the cold, very, you know, you singing need is such water. A physical activity.
I saw Miles Davis one time play trumpet.
Really?
Yeah, that was an accident. There's no reason why, Jackie, this was a gift that someone else would have appreciated much more than me. But it was in Provincetown, Massachusetts in the late 80s. And he gets on stage and he's like, this is going to be weird, but I need some dental floss. Does anyone in the front row have any dental? Ma'am, you have a purse. Do you have any dental floss? And a woman in the front row had dental floss. He said, you're going to like my trumpet playing better if I don't have something in my teeth. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And he gave her back her dental floss and she was like, and he goes, you don't want this. And he holds up the string and she was kind of like, kind of, but I get it. And he was like, you don't get it. Nobody gets it. And so, but it was, I mean, I think in the end, Mariah Carey's right.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like, do we want the show to go well?
Then that's the energy. Do we want the show to go well? But she is really, she's really everything. I mean, it's like, you know, she has this like reputation for a diva and like, truly lives up to it. But I think a lot of that is like, you know, she's smart enough. She knows what she's doing. She's having fun with it. And also she's earned it.
Right. And quite honestly, she knows exactly what
she needs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you like Mariah Carey? Oh, then you must also accept the fact that she is going to be performing the things that you like, but she's going to do it right. Mm-hmm. And that will make you happy as well. So chill the fuck out. Anyway, right now she's doing Vegas.
She's doing Vegas.
She didn't have kids with Tony Mattello, did she?
No, she's been married. Well, she's dated a lot. She hasn't been married as many times as J-Lo. She did not have kids with Tony Mottola. She married Nick Cannon, which, like, I don't get it.
Who is that? I know that name.
Jackie, nothing brings me more joy than you just being like, I don't know her.
I know that name. Is there something? But no,
he's like a comedian. Like he does that. He hosts that show Wild and Out. And now he hosts The Masked Singer.
Okay.
But he's like more like an improv sketch. Oh, The Masked Singer? He's not a stand-up, but he's like
talking head dude.
A comedic like performer.
Like charming, kind of funny performer.
Been in like movies, but like the Wild and Out show is like, you know, long-running kind of like black, like sketch improv show and talking head. Yeah, but like he's just a goofy dude.
And he's charming and people are like, let's give that guy a paycheck.
Sure, yeah. So, Mariah decided to give him a paycheck, she must have fallen for him. That's the thing. It's like, I don't know. Maybe it's like the thing of like, sometimes you just want to date like a simple dude that like adores you.
Well, if you just let someone be nice to you, maybe sometimes.
Maybe.
And maybe that was their jam. But it didn't last?
It did not last. They have babies. Adorable twins named Marilyn. Oh, no. The babies are named Monroe and Moroccan.
Oh, wow.
Adjective. Moroccan.
Yeah. Moroccan. Who, and those are girls?
One's a boy. Monroe's a girl and Moroccan's a boy.
Monroe's a girl.
Yes.
And Moroccan's a boy. Yeah. All right. Do whatever you need to do. But
so she's got her little twins. They're very, very cute.
Right. Because she's got to be in her 40s now, right? Or early 50s?
Yeah. I think she, well, if JLo's 50, then Mariah's probably
54, 53.
Yeah, around there. Yeah.
So, and when did she have these twins?
I mean, they're twins.
Late.
So, I mean, that's everyone with these twins, everyone trying to act like they're just no one's saying IVF. And it's like, we know how these babies are conceived.
Right. Science was involved and you're going to get a litter. Yeah. So, lucky for you, just two.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that's kind of amazing.
Yeah. So she has her babies. I mean, she's really funny on the Instagram. She'll like sing to them sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's cute.
Instagram is kind of a gift for that.
Yeah. Like, it kind of humanizes them because like Madonna is like into Instagram and like,
oh, cool.
She's kind of goofy on it too.
That makes them much more human and much more she's a raging bitch kind of thing. That'll pull the teeth out of that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, oh, look at Mariah just, and like she'll make kind of self-aware funny videos like I'm cooking. And it's like, look at these people cooking for you.
She's right like, behind me, there are people
long
cooking.
Day cooking. It's like, you got it. You got what we're all saying about
it.
You.
Yeah. This is Christmas money. See this? See what's happening here? I have this to say. It has been an hour. And Danielle Perez, this has been a delight.
Okay. I'm glad.
I'm psyched I came, even though I was tired.
Thank you for coming. Do like Mariah Carey, take a bubble bath in champagne.
In champagne?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds sticky, doesn't it?
It does.
I only bathe. Me and the entire country of Japan. We only bathe. And
what's your favorite Korean spa? You do that?
I do Olympic.
Yeah?
I do Olympic spa. And then there's one in the valley in Northridge that Kira Sultanovich turned me on to.
That is it Russian?
It is not Russian. It's Korean.
Oh.
And it was great until I had an embarrassing naked experience.
No.
And so I have not been able to go back, even though there's no way they remember me.
Jackie, they see naked people all the time.
Right. But I had a fibroid issue.
No.
I had like a Pokemon at my uterus.
Oh my gosh.
And so, yeah, I bled everywhere.
No.
In a Korean spa.
Oh.
So if I were me, I would have taken a picture of my face and said, never let this creepy, gross woman back in. And and I cleaned it up and the lady cleaned it. I mean, we all hosed it up. We hosed ourselves down. And,
it's not the first time.
No, it can't possibly be. But it was definitely the last time that I'll be going to that Northridge one. And they're fine. They don't need my $80. They're constantly busy. So good for them. How about you? Do you have a favorite Korean spa?
I've just been to Wii Spa.
Oh, which I hear is, that's the new cool one. It's just like
is
Olympic.
It? Okay.
But it's sort of just a little bit newer.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's all. Yeah.
Did it feel new and good?
It felt good.
That's awesome.
I need to go to more. Well, I want to go to more. I don't know if I need to go to more.
Exactly. you know what I've recently discovered?
Mm.
Dry bar.
Oh yeah. I love dry bar. I do dry bar.
Yeah. You do dry bar?
Yeah. I have a membership. So that I can go
twice a month,
and then if I go a third time, it's like, you know, a discounted rate. But
I am thinking about getting the monthly.
You should, Jackie. It makes everything so much easier.
Well, because I don't do anything to my hair. It could be part of the team.
Yeah,
and I just have to find $85 a month.
Yeah.
That's all, which I can do.
And you can write it off because that's part of like your work.
I?
Yeah, because it's maintenance. It's part of the glam squad.
I'll write anything off.
Jackie, you can 100% write off. You can write off your dry bar and your makeup and
all
your
right.
clothes.
There you go. I'm incorporated. Let's do this.
Do it.
Danielle, that'll be another episode where we will speak of our of how we treat ourselves right.
Our glam?
Do you know why? Because Mariah Carey would have wanted us to.
She would love it.
Thanks a lot for doing the show.
Thank you for having me.
And ladies and gentlemen, Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?